Tonight's message is primarily just talking about Jesus. You know, our message tonight is the believer's dearest treasure. And I'd like to read tonight in Psalm 3, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 3, verses 8 and 9. And I would just like to just make a few comments tonight. And I just hope it's a blessing. And I want you to go back to the, when you're turning there, I want you to go back to the time that you accepted Christ as your Savior, where you were, what you were doing, and the change that took place in your life. Then think about your life as a whole, and although there might be some good things, children, marriages, different things in your life, but I want you to think of the whole, is there anything any better than Jesus taking away your sins? And so that's the blessing that believers have, is to know Christ as their personal Savior. So I want to read to you two verses tonight and make a few comments, and I trust it'll be a blessing. The believer's dearest treasure. The Bible says in verse 8, it says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." So although there was a loss there, there was also a gain. And the gain was far greater than that that was lost. And that's what Paul's saying there. And then verse 9 says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," which he's not giving himself credit for where he is in his life, "which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know, I mentioned this morning about how important it is to have God in our life. Well, here it is. He's kind of making a summary here of it's God by faith. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for the good day that you blessed us with. We do pray for the request of prayer. We pray for our pastor and Sister Carol and others that are traveling. Lord, will you give them safety? Lord, we pray for those in need, those that might be listening that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, speak to that heart, cause them to realize that they do need that change in their life. They need Christ. But Father, we pray that you'll just, that we will leave here refreshed and renewed and restored joy that we have in Christ. We ask your blessings that you will help me tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is a treasure? What do we consider a treasure? Is it sometimes something that has material value, maybe an antique or something? You know, there's different people that go what they call treasure hunting, and they go into these antique places, stores, and even non-antique places, and are looking for something of value. They're looking for a treasure. Or is it a person's great success in life? A person who is successful or wanting to achieve something, they feel like that success is considered a treasure. Or is it a person's fine goods? In other words, the things that they have, the goods that they have, and it be a top quality good, could that be a treasure? Is it a position that one holds in life? Could that be a treasure? Or is it a person? Maybe you might tell a person, "You're a treasure to me." Or maybe a grandchild, or maybe a good relationship that is a treasure. My grandpa, on my dad's side, died when I was I guess I was probably somewhere around, I would guess around 10 or 11, something like that. I think it was 1980 that he passed away. And when I was young, I used to always love to go to my grandfather's. We had moved away. He lived up in the mountains where I'm originally from. And we had moved away because my dad's work took us away. And when I could go there and I would spend a week with him and my grandma, and I would go with him. I would go with him to feed the cattle. I'd go with him to walk the fence line. I would go with him to do different things. And I really enjoyed that. And one of the, and of course he passed away. And the farm was actually, sold. I guess it was last year. I would have loved to have been able to had it, but it was sold last year. And so I would go back and visit, maybe once every year, once every 2 years, I would go back and visit and I would just kind of reminisce those old memories. And so the farm's technically gone. And the house, no one can currently live in the house because nobody was there. It got a mold in the house, so nobody can live in the house. And I figure it'll eventually be torn down if it isn't already. And so those things are gone. But one thing that I do have that was my grandpa's name was Levy. That was his name. He was Levy Freeman. And one thing that I used to love to do was I used to love to sit in my grandpa's lap, and we would sit by the old wood stove. And the wood stove, if you can relate to this, where the wood stove was in this particular house, it would be about 95. The rest of the house would be cold, and I would sit there in his lap. And my grandpa used to love to smoke a pipe. He loved a pipe. And so he didn't have any teeth to speak of. He had one tooth that was right here in the front, and he had a couple of bottom teeth. So he would hang his pipe on that one tooth, and he would take his pocket knife and he would kind of whittle it out to where his pipe would hang on, because a heavy pipe wouldn't hold in a person's mouth that didn't have any teeth, right? And so he whittled a little hole in it, and so he would always let me light his pipe. That was a joy to me. It was the kind of lighter that was the fluid kind of pipe, and he would fill it up and he would let me light it, and that was a joy to me. Well, I have that pipe, and I have that little ashtray that looks like a miniature frying pan. And that was his ashtray. Well, that's a treasure to me. Okay, it's not worth anything except to me, right? And, when I'm gone, there's no telling. I guess Marshall can hang it as a Christmas ornament or something. But it doesn't really mean anything to him, because he never got to meet my grandpa. So that was considered a treasure. That's a treasure to me. And it doesn't have any value in a sense of money wise, or if I was going to sell it, I don't know that I would probably have to pay somebody to take it. So there wasn't any value, but it meant something to me. But when it comes to our dearest treasure, what is that? Or who is that? And so this is about a believer's life. And what would be the greatest treasure? Well, you start thinking about eternal life, and we're grateful for eternal life. We're grateful that we're going to have a home in heaven, and one day this we're going to leave this world. And so we're so grateful for eternal life. We're grateful for peace. Because if you know Christ as your personal Savior, you have that peace that passes all understanding. So you're grateful for that peace. We're grateful for the help that the Lord gives us, the help in time of need. And of course, we're grateful that there's a place called heaven. There are individuals that don't believe in heaven, and they don't believe in hell. I don't know really how you can believe in heaven and not believe in hell, because there's one of two places that we're going to go when we take our last breath. But what is the believer's dearest treasure? And I think of all those things that I mentioned, eternal life and peace and help and a home in heaven. I think that's just a part of our dearest treasure, and that's a benefit of our dearest treasure. And our dearest treasure is Jesus Christ Himself. See, Jesus Christ Himself. The writer says, what things were gained to me, he counts loss for Christ. So in other words, all those things that he worked for before his conversion, and he had some prestige. Paul had, which was known as Saul then, but Paul had some, you know, he had a good bloodline. He was very strict in the things that he did. He was a very religious person. But those things hold no value. But when Christ came into his life and when Christ saved him, that's when the change took place. And that's when he understood what he really had. And that's why he says, what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Why would Christ be the believer's dearest treasure? And I want to give you just a few thoughts tonight as to why that Christ would be a believer's dearest treasure. And our desire tonight is just simply to honor the Lord. Our desire tonight is just simply to give Him the glory, give Him the praise, and just help us to be reminded. You know, sometimes we get caught in this world and sometimes we get frustrated with the things that are happening around us, and there's a lot of bad things that are happening. There's just a lot of bad things. But you know, there's a lot of good things that are happening too if you know Christ. And so I want us to be reminded of our dearest treasure. And so the first thing I want to make mention is, because, why is he our dearest treasure? And it's simply because of what he's done for me. What he has done for us. When we stop and truly think that he loved me and gave himself for me, that means something. I remember, I don't know why I'm thinking about the past, but I remember one of the things, and I still have it today, that is a slingshot my grandpa made for me. He told me I needed a piece of leather to make the little pouch for the slingshot. So he told me I needed some rubber. We had rubber. And of course the rubber's dry rotted now, but it was a rubber from an old bicycle inner tube. So I actually asked my mother, could I cut up my boots that I had to get him a little piece of leather? Because I needed some kind of pouch. So she wouldn't let me do it, obviously. But I did find they found something that he used, which was a little pouch. But it's not the slingshot, but it's the fact that he made it for me. Out of all his grandkids, and he had a lot of grandkids, but out of all of them, he says, I'm going to make you one. Now take it personal when it comes to Jesus Christ. We understand tonight that Jesus died for whosoever, and I'm grateful for that. But we can also make it personal and say that Jesus Christ died for me. That's what we were trying to sing in that song. How marvelous that grace that He's shown us. How marvelous was it that if we were the only ones here, He would still go to that cross for you and for me. You see, that's why He's our dearest treasure. And that's why Paul says, I count all things but loss. When Paul got saved, there was a change in his life. When Paul got saved, he never got over it. You know, I've seen, and you've seen in your life, you've seen friendships split over something that's material. You've seen families argue over material things, things that's not going to be anybody's eventually anyway. And if we've watched in our lifetime, we've watched anger and there's people not speaking today because they're arguing over material things. Let me tell you something. Material things are going to go. But what's not going to go is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's important. That's why it's a dear treasure. That's why it's so important. What we have in Christ is more valuable than anything we will ever own or ever possess in what we have in Jesus Christ. Why is he such a dear treasure? Let me give you another reason. Because of what he brought us. What he brought us. In between my dad's job, when he got laid off, my uncle used to sell tombstones. And so my dad had to go on a few business trips. And I remember him going to New York for some reason. I don't remember why, but he had to go to New York. And there was some kind of something to do with these tombstones that he sold. And I remember that he went there. I don't know how long he was gone. You know how time with a child, you don't know how long he was gone, just a few days, I guess. And he came back and he pulled out of his suitcase, and I still have it today. It's up in the attic, but he pulled out a plastic key. I don't remember what the writing was on it, but it was, and it had a key ring on it. Probably something that somebody gave him. You know how when you're in these meetings, there's little trinkets that people give you. He gave it, but he brought it back and he says, I want you to have it. Now, it probably didn't cost him anything, but he wanted to give it to me. Now, as a child, to be thought of, and somebody says, I want you to have this, you know, you get plumb excited, okay? But when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, it cost him everything and didn't cost us anything. You see, that's what he brought us. Jesus had done more for us than anyone would ever do. The former radio program that we had for many, many years on WPET that this church sponsored, that Brother Ward was a part of, and I had a privilege to carry it on for a few years. It was called The Message of Redemption. And when I think about that song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb, that's what Jesus Christ did. You see, we're redeemed. But not only do we have redemption, you know, I talked about earlier about what we have in Christ, and that's that peace. Let me read to you a verse of scriptures in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice what verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever been talking to someone that's unsaved? And you try to explain to them that peace that you feel, that peace that you can't really explain, but you say, look, when I accepted Christ, that burden of sin, when we sing a song about that burden of sin has been lifted. And so, you ever tried to explain that to somebody that's lost? They can't comprehend it. They can't. It's hard to explain it. It's hard to get them to see just exactly what we have in Christ and that peace that we have in Christ. But as soon as they commit their lives to the Lord and ask Jesus Christ into their heart and save them, then it's right then, that moment, that instant, they have that peace. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. It doesn't mean that we don't have burdens. It just means that things are different and the life has changed. I shared that with the men last night at the mission. And I was trying to explain to them and made mention of the fact that it's just a change that takes place in your life. That if it's a real change, you don't have to tell anyone. People will see the change. And that's exactly what happened to me. There was where my mom and dad was asking, when did it happen? When did you get saved? And I'm like, how'd you know? Who told you? But see, there's a change that took place. And it's that peace. You're not fighting anymore. You're not stressing anymore. It's understanding. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. That's the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. And for us to be able to tell someone that don't know Christ, someone that is struggling, someone that is lost, for us to be able to try to explain to them, it's hard for them to comprehend. And that's where we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart and for them to understand it and the Holy Spirit nudge their heart and they accept Christ. Then they can experience. How can we have joy today with things in the shape that they're in? How can we have joy today with the way the... I was reading, I was telling Darla, I was reading today, I was reading that it's 17 states that is trying to, they're either trying to fight it or they're trying to adopt it, but they're wanting these electrical cars by 2035. So I counted it up and that's really not that long. And so there's these arguments and honestly speaking, if somebody wants one, it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that they're trying to force you into it. And so, the turmoil and the arguments and all these things, but the thing about it is, regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of what, you know, the mandates will be, we can still have peace because we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that's what we focus on. That's why He's our dearest treasure, because we can have that peace. You see, a heart without God is in turmoil. It's almost like a wrestling match within itself. And a heart without God is in turmoil. But in Christ, there is peace. And therefore, He's our dearest, dearest treasure. Why else is He our dearest treasure? He brought us victory. He brought us victory. I don't know anyone that plays any kind of game that doesn't at least have a little bit of, I would like to win. That's just how we are. I mean, I don't know anyone that says, well, I just hope everybody ties. You know, I want everybody to get along and I want everybody to like it. There is a little bit in us that we would like to do our best and have victory in whatever we do. I was talking to a person at work. And I made this statement. I said, I've come to realize that there's nobody that comes in and wants to start their day and they say, you know what? I feel like doing a bad job today. They don't come in that way. Now, the problem is their ethics are different. And what we might think is laziness or they're not doing a good job, then that's because the two things doesn't match. But to say, I'm going to come in and do a bad job, that's really not in our chemistry as people. But the Bible talks about victory. Victory. And so in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory. Notice what it says. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, there's victory in Jesus Christ. We can have victory even in bad times, even in sad times, even in joyous times. We can have victory in Jesus, and that's why he's our dearest treasure, because we can have victory. We can have victory over this world. We can have victory. You know, they can do really whatever they want to us in a sense of trying to take things from us, but they'll never take our victory if we are in Jesus Christ. They'll never take it. They can try and they can do this and they can do that, but they can never take our victory. I believe that there's probably, with different parts of the world, there's probably people in prison now because of their faith. You know, Robbie Molinax was here some time back and he was talking about China and the different things and the raid of these churches and things like that. They can raid the churches and they can try to split them up, but they'll never take a person's victory that knows Jesus Christ. You see, that's why he's our dearest treasure. That's why it's so important to make him number one in my life. You see, the world might try to destroy us. The world might try to laugh at us. The world might not ever understand us, but no matter what, because of what we have in Jesus Christ, we have victory. And then another thing that we think about when we think about him being our dearest treasure, and that is none other than eternal life. We have hope tonight. We have hope. Those loved ones that's been in my life, that's gone on before me, I don't look at them as being in the grave. Those that knew Christ, I look at them as, hey, they're in heaven enjoying themselves. You know, their bodies are in the grave. But they're not there. They're in heaven enjoying themselves. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like and to experience it. And although I can't truly imagine it, we can read what the Bible says and we can try to understand what the Bible says. But until we experience it, we're never going to fully understand it. You see, Christ is our dearest treasure. John 3:16, actually verse 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Christ didn't come to condemn, but Christ came to give. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, that's what we have in Jesus Christ. He brought us eternal life. What comes with eternal life? What comes with eternal life? I'll read it to you. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas asked the question, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do we have in, what do we have in heaven? We have that mansion. We have a place that's prepared. Don't that make you rejoice that it's a place that he has prepared for us? A place that he's prepared for us. The world doesn't have anything compared to what we have in Jesus Christ. And then tonight, he's our dearest treasure because he's worthy to be our dearest treasure. He's worthy. He's worthy to be our dearest treasure. He's worthy of all the praise that we can give. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus can fill every corner of our heart. He can fill every corner of our heart. You see, Jesus is Lord. You see, that's just a very small snapshot of why Jesus is the believer's dearest treasure. There's a song that Sister Shayla sings every once in a while, and maybe others might sing it, that says, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Isn't it a blessing to know Him tonight? Isn't it a blessing to know that if we leave this place and we leave this world, we're going to be in His presence? Isn't it a blessing that we don't have to carry these burdens with us? You know, the things that trouble us now, you know, it's really not going to matter one day, because we're going to be in His presence. Sometimes I think, what a reunion it's going to be. I've been coming here since, I guess, 1989, 90. And I remember the first time, I hadn't been here but probably 2 weeks. And I get a phone call. And the phone call said, will you be a wise man in the Christmas program? And I was thinking to myself, I've only been here 2 weeks. But I agreed. And I remember standing up there, and it was on this side, and I remember hitting my knee on the pew. And I remember looking out, and I remember, I don't know hardly anybody here. But now I fast forward, and I think about the years that we've been here and been a part of here, what a blessing. And that one day, all those folks that were there then, and you know the ones that are missing, we're going to have a reunion one day. Why is Jesus our dearest treasure? Because He loved us and gave Himself for us. You see, that's far more than any material thing that we'll ever possess. We should be grateful tonight, and we should praise His name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together, and just a little reminder of our dearest treasure. And Lord, I'll be the first to tell You, and You know, so many times I've failed You. So many times I've fallen short. So many times I've stumped my toe and I've stumbled. But You've always loved me. And we thank You for that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank You for the treasure that we have in Jesus. And Lord, You know our hearts, and the older we get, the more we understand just how dear You are. That the things that used to trouble us just don't really trouble us anymore, because they're going to pass away. But what we're looking to is heaven. Thank You for dying on that cross for our sins. Thank You for loving us. And thank You for taking us just as we are. We're grateful tonight. And so, Father, as we have this time of invitation, if there's anyone here that wants to just come and pray, maybe someone would just like to come and thank You. Maybe someone that needs Christ. Whatever the need is, or whatever the reason, we pray that they'll come. as the Holy Spirit moves. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?